Ladies and gentlemen, we've gone live. Welcome to the Orientation Center for the Blind Alumni Association luncheon at the convention of the California Council of the Blind, the annual convention for 2014, here at the Hilton Arden West in Sacramento, California. I'm Judy Wilkinson, the president of the affiliate, and I'm going to pass the microphone around, and we're going to invite you to each say who you are, and if you ever went to OCB, let us know that, and kind of let us know maybe when you were there. And so we're going to do that first. Your lunch will be coming. We'll be starting with our salad, and then we will, after we've gone around the room, we will invite our OCB Administrator Rosa Gomez to speak with us. So I'm going to pass the microphone. Donna, have you left yet?
No, I'm here.
I'm going to pass it to my right to our treasurer.
Hello, this is Donna Sanchez. I was at the Orientation Center 1975-76. I was there for 1 year because part of the year I had to go have two eye surgeries. It was like 10 years. 1 year was like 10 years in my life, and I'm glad I went. And if anybody is interested in joining our alumni, I'd be more than welcome to take your $10.
Thank you, Donna. I'm Connie Gill, and I'm glad to be back in California from Seattle, Washington. And Donna tracked me down and got me back in.
My name is Al Gill, and I was the counselor at the Orientation Center from 1978 till I retired in 1995.
Hi, good afternoon. My name's Sylvia Reese, and I attended the Orientation Center from 2011 through February 2012 is when I left there. Currently, I do live here in Sacramento, longtime resident of Sacramento. I'm continuing with my blindness skills. I'm pretty good at Braille now. I'm pretty good at mobility now and pretty good at computers, and that's all thank goodness for OCB for leading me into those areas. And I'm happy to be here and nice to meet you all.
Say what job you have with this
organization. Oh, well, I'm currently acting secretary for this meeting. And I'm alternative delegate for this meeting, I guess. And I'm also on the board with Sierra Regional Ski for Light.
My name is Jane Cardis, and I graduated in 1993. And ever so grateful for Al Gill and as my counselor.
Albert Contreras from Temple City, and I was at OCB between September of 78 till about June of 79. Really enjoyed my stay there, and I just was elected as vice president of the OCB Alumni Association, and I thank you all very much.
Thank you. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Donna Pomerantz. I'm president of the California Council of the Blind, and I am a friend to OCB.
Okay, thank you, Donna. My name is Cheryl Waters, and this is my first time. My name is Cheryl Waters, and this is my first meeting, and I'm with the CCB. I'm with Ken Metz and his wife, Pam, but he's not here. But Pam is here. I don't know if she's at this luncheon, but she's around somewhere. So thank you so much for having me here. All right.
Hi, Dirk Neihardt, and I am so happy with OCB. It's the only school where I didn't write a bounce check. I was there 2000 to 2001.
I'm Patty Nash. I'm the delegate for Bayview Chapter, and I went to OCB in 1969. I've been blind all of my life, but I really learned so much there. I was able to have my, you know, maintain my own home, and I learned to cook, and I improved my travel skills, and I'm a Braille teacher, and I love what I do, and I really feel that OCB helped me immeasurably. Thank you.
I'm Vivian Younger, and when I first started out as a rehab counselor, they wanted us to come and observe what OCB was like for clients. And so we spent a couple of days there, and my favorite activity was cooking. I'm now with the Santa Clara County Blind Center, and I do send clients OCB's ways, because I really think that to get all the skills in one place at one time is the best way to do it.
I'm Pam Pology. I'm the president of the San Gabriel Valley Chapter CCB and the credentials nominating chair. I've never been to OCB, but I'm Judy Wilkinson's biggest fan. So that's why I'm here, along with the, because I want the dessert. Thank you.
I'm Pete Romero. I attended OCB in November of 1972, and I left in June of 73. Put that in some perspective, when I bought my first abacus in 72, I spent $3 for it. I just bought one 3 days ago, and I spent $28 for the same abacus. I learned a lot of skills there that helped me when I worked, had good mobility skills, and I'm very proud to say that I got those and abacus skills from OCB, and I wouldn't have traded that experience for the world. Thank you.
My name is Monique Morissette, and I actually won a ticket for the lunch. I'm the honorary lunch person. But, I came, this should be interesting because I'm a special day class child teacher, and it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what the conference is about.
Hi, I'm Nancy Engwin. I'm the current vice president of the Fresno chapter of CCB, and I am a legally blind composer. My degree is in music theory and composition and vocal performance. And what I'm really looking for, OCB would be a good place for me to go if I need to do that. I will, because it's the best place. I've heard wonderful things about it. And what I'm looking for right now is a person who actually knows the Finale music writing program, because now that I can't see to input it myself, I need to figure out how to do it on the computer, and I can't find anyone that knows those skills. So that's what I'm looking for, because I'm looking forward to doing my master's in that.
My name is Chris Gist. I'm with the Department of Rehabilitation, and I'm one of Rosa Gomez's working colleagues, and therefore a friend of OCB.
I'm Jason Holloway. I attended OCB in 1993 and was newly blind, so learned all the skills that got me gainfully employed. I work for the IRS now in Oakland, and have very fond memories of OCB.
My name is Jennifer Holloway. I'm vice president of the CCB Students Organization, and I'm here with my husband, and I'm a Kentucky transplant, so here we go.
Thank you. Okay, I think that's it.
You know, I forgot to tell you when I was at OCB. I have a story. And now that he can't be punished for doing this because Mr. Jenkins is at the Orientation Center for the Blind in the Sky, I went to visit OCB when I was a junior in high school because I had heard about this place. And when I first met Mr. Jenkins, he said, could you lean down and you know, get something off the floor? And when I leaned forward, he cracked me under the chin with his fist. And he basically said, don't ever do that. Don't ever, like, lean forward. You never know when there could be an object by your face, you know. And so he was teaching me a lesson. I mean, he startled me, but he didn't hurt me. But that was my first lesson at OCB. So then when I told him how excited I was to come, he said, I have some bad news for you. You aren't old enough. I can't let you in till you're 18 or a graduate from high school. And I was just devastated. And I just said, you know, I've heard about this place. I need to come and learn these things before I go, you know, on to my senior year. So he actually allowed me to attend the summer between my junior and senior year. He, you know, I couldn't have meals at the student. I couldn't, you know, I had to be careful. I got a ride. The guy who was Larry Lewis, mobility teacher, lived four blocks from me. So I got a ride there every day. So thanks to, I was a day student. And thanks to Mr. Jenkins, I was allowed in. And then I went back the next summer after my senior year. And I was telling Jason Holloway last night, you know who was with me that summer? Jim Willows. And we all know who Jim Willows is. He's the, you know, former president of the NFB of California, and well known in that organization. And then I came back to OCB when I was a teacher, but you know, I was struggling financially. I was trying to buy a new house and stuff. So I came back in 78, 79, one of those years, and worked as an intermittent, an employee. I was a dorm counselor for 3 or 4 years. I'd, you know, do weekends, nights, summers, you know, like that. And it was a great part-time job for me, and I met so many wonderful students. Anyway, I took a long time. I have one more thing to say. I am going to plead. I heard at least 4 people in the room say they had went. This is the former English teacher. They went to OCB, and they are not members of this alumni association. We desperately need our alumni who are in, you know, the CCB organization to come and join this affiliate. The dues are such a bargain. They're only $10. How many affiliates still have $10 dues? So if Donna Sanchez will be coming around after Rosa speaks, and she will sort of very politely say, were you one of the people who came to OCB? And if you can't join now, fine. But if you wouldn't mind giving her some kind of contact information, an email address, a phone number, so we know where to reach the people in the room who are OCB alumni. We want to be in touch with you, whether you really want to, you know, I'd love you to join. But really, we just need to know where our people are. So if you'll give Donna that information, even if you don't feel you can join, I would really like to have you do that. Now that she just got her lunch, I'm going to interrupt Rosa's eating her lunch. I gave you such good billing in the program, Rosa. This is why we have more people at this luncheon than we have had in a long time. We have 19, is that right, 19? I think 19 or 20 people. So, and that's because people really want to meet you and to hear what you have to say. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Rosa Gomez, the administrator of the Orientation Center for the Blind.
Great. Thank you, everybody. Good afternoon. And I really appreciate that, Judy, that you contacted me and that I'm able to be here today. And so I want to share with you about what's been happening at OCB since the last luncheon from last year's conference. But I also want this to be an interactive time, too. So if you've got some questions, I'd love for you to be able to ask that as well. I do kind of have something buzzing from outside. I think they're doing a little landscaping. So you might want to call out the questions a little bit louder. And I can repeat it so that everybody can hear you. Do we have two mics?
No, we only have one.
Okay. All right.
We have four luncheons and only four mics. So.
Okay. So anyways, so what I wanted to do is share with you what's been happening at OCB in the last year. To start with, we've had some individuals who have retired, and we've also have some new staff who have come aboard. So let's see. We have two new orientation mobility instructors. In the last year, we did have two instructors who retired. So it would, it is, Cy Tarlin is one, and, he retired at the beginning of this year. And then, just over a year ago, we had, Barbara Oler who retired. I don't know if you guys know her, any of you were here at that time. Babs, yeah. So we have, it's funny because we had, you know, Joe Xavier, who we all know, was the Deputy Director of Specialized Services, who took the director position, and so we lost our Joe Xavier in Specialized Services. However, we have two new orientation mobility instructor, and that is Joe Davidson and Xavier Eridus. So we have our Joe Xavier on our own campus. So just a great addition to our campus, and they started just at the beginning of March. The gender orientation? The statistics? Okay. So we have, right now we have four full-time O&M instructors, and we have two part-time O&M instructors. Three of our O&M instructors are male, and three are female. Okay? Yeah. So that's really, really great to have them, and they're just a great team. They're working together. And but one of the things that I think is new that they're bringing is, you know, we have a lot of individuals who are coming to OCB who have some usable vision, but they don't know how to use their vision. So it kind of gets them in trouble a little bit. Or, you know, they just aren't comfortable trying. So what we have available for them is for them to learn how to use their usable vision, to learn how to distinguish when it's usable and when it's not, and then to use the non-visual techniques. Yes, absolutely. So we also, what else has been going on? One of the things we have changed, we've done a lot of program changes, and probably when a lot of you were there, it sounds like that there was a lot more cooking that was going on. For a long while, that had changed to a cooking class once a week for 2 hours. And so I really felt that that isn't enough time. We eat three meals a day. We eat every day of the week. And so we really need to increase what we're doing. As you all know, being alumni, that there's a cafeteria there, and so sometimes people's like, well, you know, aren't they supposed to be cooking? The cafeteria is so important. I mean, in there you're practicing those social skills, how to eat in public, how to manage your tray, how to engage with your servers, you know, how to find a seat. That's a challenge, you know, managing that tray and managing your cane and not bumping somebody over the head and keeping everything steady. So there's, and then having the social interaction, that is something that I think is so valuable at OCB, that the opportunity to engage with peers and staff and, you know, kind of a more informal setting, it just is so valuable. So with that, one of the things that we have done is change cooking, because still we need to, you know, make sure that all the students who go have the opportunity to cook. So one of the things that has been helpful is we've looked at where are individuals in terms of the cooking. We recognize that the population has changed in terms of who we're serving, who the consumers are of Department of Rehabilitation. Individuals are coming with multiple disabilities, and sometimes blindness may be the least of the disability, but we need to make sure that their needs are being met too. There will be some individuals who will come into the cooking class, and because of their skills and ability, will not be able to cook safely on the stove or the oven. However, they still need to eat. And then we have those individuals who want to, you know, make some really fancy dishes, and with the training and support, building their confidence, learning how to do things non-visually, are doing some really incredible dishes. So the cooking teacher restructured her classes where we have a kind of a beginning level where they're learning how to, in every class, they're going to be leaving knowing how to do something. And maybe it's starting off with something basic like it's pouring. You're going to learn how to be able to pour your juice, pour your hot tea, using those, what are those called? The K, what do you call those?
K-cups.
Yep. That is such a great, reasonable accommodation for those individuals who aren't able to manage some of, you know, our traditional tools that are out there. So in another class, it's working on spreading. So something as basic as they're going to be able to make themselves a sandwich. They're going to be able to butter their toast. And for many individuals, they have not had the opportunity to do this in their life because somebody has always done it for them. And for some individuals, you know, it's maybe cutting may not be something safe for them, but we want to make sure they're eating safely. So how do you then know how to get things like pre-made salads that you can open up the package and serve yourself? So learning some things like that, doing some cutting, and so that may be cutting some fruit or some vegetables to make yourself a fruit salad or to make yourself, salsa, somebody said. So there's a lot of things that a person can do that does not involve the stove or the oven, and we know that they can still eat safely and in a healthy way. And then moving it up to, you know, there's different types of equipment like the rice cooker where you can steam vegetables or you know, make some rice. Using the George Foreman grill is a big piece of appliance that everybody loves and can do some great meals on that. The crock pot is another one, yes. And then also the microwave. So there's a lot of things that can be made in the microwave, again, for those individuals where the stove is not going to be feasible for them. And then those individuals who are doing, and again, when it's one of the things that happened is like, okay, we showed you, and so now you can do it. But we really want to emphasize reinforcing the skill. So if it's on the stove, it's today we're going to make, you know, something like soup, starting basic. Now, you know, for individuals, it can be fearful to get onto that stove, feeling that heat. And so having that opportunity to make something like a soup, let's make some boiled eggs. How do you get the boiled eggs out of that pan? How do you handle the hot water? And then what can you do with that? I mean, you can turn that into, you make some boiled potatoes, you can make yourself, you know, maybe potato salad or egg salad, egg sandwich, or even the deviled egg. So there's a lot of different types of dishes that one can make out of practicing some of these simple things that, again, that we really want to support healthy eating. And we have then individuals who are working on the stove for if they're, you know, sautéing different things, making, you know, frying eggs. In the oven, they're doing a lot of baking of fish and chicken and just doing a lot of great work. In casseroles, they've done that. So what the teacher is asking, what do you need, you know, what do you eat? How, you know, and let's support that. And so they're given a task, you know, so they're collaborating with the O&M instructor. All right, you get to go shopping, go get the things you need to make, and bring it back. So that's really great. There was even a group of students who did a barbecue. They were shown how to use the barbecue pit, so that's really cool. And it always smells so great, so delicious. Now what we're having is for some individuals, they're getting cooking classes 3 times a week, and that's for our beginning classes. So they have 3 times a week, And I want to say it's an hour and a half class each time. And then our advanced classes, they have intermediate gets two times, and then they have 3-hour long classes because they're responsible for getting everything out, preparing what they want to make, and then making sure that they're cleaning up and putting everything away. So as they're getting more advanced, it might take a little bit more time. We want to make sure that they have plenty enough time to do that. And then in addition to that, we have the advanced class. And so they, again, are making more advanced meals. And oftentimes what they'll do is the students will take on different parts of the meal. Somebody might make the salad. Somebody's making the the entrees. We got to cover dessert. So somebody does a dessert. And it's been great because they're kind of sharing and collaborating. We have equipment in the dorm kitchen where the individuals where our teacher has identified that they can do things safely and independently can, if they choose, to make meals for themselves. So they're not eating in the cafeteria. They want to make their own stuff, and they've been doing a lot of that. So that's been really great. So that's been a big change. One of the things, let's see, we talked about last year is still the apartment program, and that has been going well. We're calling it TAP, Transition Apartment Program. And we have individuals, for those who weren't here last year and aren't aware, we did a renovation, and so we have 4 studio apartments where the students, after they've been there for a while, are able to transition into these apartments, and they are tying all the skills that they've learned in the different classes in kind of an assimilated residential setting. So they're responsible for moving in, getting things set up and organized, keeping the place clean, going and doing their shopping, bringing it home, putting it away, being able to identify it at a later time and preparing the meals. Yeah, and being sure that they're showing up to the classes that they are, supposed to be in. Some individuals have participated in the apartment program and at the same time are doing things in the community. There's some resident who was going to community college, another one who was participating in one of our the Lighthouse Work Immersion Program. So they have that opportunity to really kind of, tie it all in together. So that's been going really strong. One of the things that we wanted to do is we recognize that there are some individuals, because of the multiple disabilities, are not going to be able to live alone. And so what they're going to be doing is still receiving transition apartment services. We're going to we've turned the upstairs kitchen into part of that program. So, we did have some students that say, oh, it's further for me to walk. I always think, good exercise. But if anybody has a problem, we can move them downstairs. So that seems to, nobody's asked to move downstairs. Yeah, exactly. So we're absolutely willing to accommodate. But in the program that they're working with the teacher, and again, they're just kind of tying everything in together. What's happening for you in your dorm room? How do we support? What kind of things can you do in the kitchen? And to just kind of reinforce what they're learning inside their classes. And so that's been really positive and has really helped individuals when they leave. One of the other things that has been a really great focus, so we have our new rehabilitation counselor. She's been with us for about a year and a half. Her name is Jessica Grove, and she's just doing a superb job. I'm just so impressed with all the great work that she's doing. But one of the things we've done is restructured. So when I came on, there was some individuals had what we called independent study time, and they could work on things on their own. Sometimes people chose to nap as part of their independent study time. So, and then maybe they had independent study time at 9 o'clock. And so let's say they overslept their 10 o'clock class. Well, if I overslept the 10, then maybe I don't have to go to the 11. So one of the things that we wanted to do is to really support them building their endurance, building their readiness for going back to work, for going to school. And we wanted the opportunity to really kind of build the community in a kind of a more formal way. So every morning at 8 o'clock, all the students come together in the new conference room, and we're treating it like a staff meeting. So they need to come in and find their seats, and I just share that on the first day, you know, people are coming in like, oh, it's so crowded in here, and I go, where's my chair? And I said, hey, guys, in the real world, we don't do this as blind people. It's not okay. So we really need to start behaving and acting like, you know, adults. And, you know, we want to be treated and respectfully, and we want, you know, we want to build these skills. So it's important that that we work on, you know, how do we come into a room, working on greeting individuals. I mean, one of the things that, you know, it's hard as a blind person. You want to go say hi to somebody. Do I shake their hand? I put my hand out. They don't, you know, just that whole awkwardness. Well, let's work on that. So we're tying that in as well. As part of building some of those soft skills, we're expecting that individuals, this isn't like college campus where maybe you've been out late the night before and you can roll out of bed in your wrinkled, you know, clothes or your pajamas. We really expect that you're going to show up and you're going to be presentable. You're going to wear clothes that are appropriate. They're not going to be stained. You're going to have your hair combed. You're going to be ready. And so we're supporting all the participants in making sure that they are ready. And so that's been a big part, and that's been really positive. In fact, driven by the students, whereas in the workplace, generally, you know, Friday is kind of dress down day. Well, at OCB, Friday is dress up day. Yeah. And so the students came up with that, which I think is really just, it's great. Yeah. So. As long as it's kind of work appropriate. So if, you know, if you've got t-shirts with kind of inappropriate sayings or things like that, I mean, you know, in some work settings that may be okay. We want to make sure that you're clean and presentable. So, you know, jeans are okay. Yeah, so we don't have a strict code, but we just want to make sure that you're presentable and not. We don't like sweats. We don't like pajamas. You know, something that. Yeah, the question is, are they still wearing the sleep shades when they do the cooking class, and other classes? And the answer is yes. So we know that there are some students that peak. And so one of the things I've been saying is, hey, guys, why don't you turn off the lights and pull down the shades? So even if they do try to peak, there's not enough lighting in there. And, you know, so want to support that. But ultimately, what one puts into it is what one's going to get out. But we really want to support that they're, you know, getting the most out of being at OCB. So the question is, are they an older or younger generation? And we have a mix. Our youngest there right are here right now is 18, and she's just doing a fantastic job. So proud of her. She is. She's great. And then, gosh, I don't recall now. Maybe our oldest is 76, I want to say. Something like that. Yeah. So, you know, we do get a wide range. We've got a, you know, a good cluster kind of in the early 30s, 40s, that kind of thing. So it just, you know, it really varies. And I love it because it's an opportunity, you know, and the older individuals will say it's a great opportunity to, you know, just see the wonderful energy. And, you know, for the younger individuals, I mean, they get just kind of the wisdom of the olders. So it's just, it's a great opportunity. And it's just neat to see the different relationships that form. We had a young gal came in and, you know, she really connected with an older person that, you know, was able to support her and to help, you know, build her and give her the support that she needed. So it's really neat. It's great. It's just a great group that we have and to continue to have.
How long does the day go? Could you talk about that?
Great. So the question is, talk about the structure of the day and what happens in the meetings. So let me go back to the meetings. We have meetings, and the focus of the meetings are to discuss job preparedness, what is expected for you on the job, kind of expectations, how do you behave. So really working on some of those soft skills. We know that in, for example, the computer class, you're going to be working on how to, you know, manage, you know, utilizing computer, and in our pre-vocational class, some of the other technology, but really helping and supporting those soft skills, having the students understand what is expected of them in the workplace. The next group is school preparedness, understanding how do you interact and engage with disabled student services. What do you need to do to be ready to be able to function in the school setting, and having discussions about that? You know, my thought is that if and what we're noticing, you know, we don't want to, we can just go and fill out all the forms and do everything for you, but how is that teaching you? And if you need all that help, then are you really truly ready? So really helping you to have an understanding of what do you need to do, where do you need to be in order to be successful in the school. And then community involvement. There are many individuals who come to OCB and are may not be going back to work, but we don't expect that they're going to come to OCB and then go back home and sit at home. They need to be involved in their community, and that will look differently for everybody. If it's getting more active in the church group, in the community groups, CCB, NFB would be some great discussions. And so we talked about this in the business meeting earlier, but that's a great opportunity for you know, the participants to be involved in the community. So and it may also just be, you know, you come to OCB so that you're able to take care of yourself, go to your doctor's appointments, do your shopping, so that you're not asking your family members to do it for you. So we really want to support that. And so that's the focus of our Monday through Friday 8 to 9 o'clock time. The other thing, one of the things we used to have is hour-long classes. And the concern has been that if you're in an hour-long class, you come in, you get things set up, you start to work, it's time to put things away. There's not a lot of time, and it was feeling really kind of rushed. One of the things we want to make sure is that we're bringing up our senses. So with that, we, and listening to the students, the classes have been changed to hour and a half classes. And so instead of six classes a day, there are four classes a day. And you really have the opportunity. In mobility, the concern was like, well, gosh, as soon as we get out there, we have to turn around. We've got a little more time now to do some of that. The other thing, it's not everybody needs to have Braille every day, mobility every day. We're not going to use a cookie-cutter approach because everybody's needs are different. There are some individuals who come to OCB and they've never used a computer and they're not going to when they leave. Well, there's no point in having them in the class because it doesn't meet their needs. So where do they need the extra support, and what class can we put in that place for them? The other thing, so classes go from 9 to 4 o'clock, the actual kind of working with the teachers. So the day is actually 8 to 4. The other part that we have still is the internship program. And so we are really looking at what are things that we can do to help strengthen the program. And, you know, we'd like to eventually have it be an opportunity for some externships that we're working with the local, you know, community to see if we can have some students go in and do some interning in a local area. So that's something that we will be working on. Any questions? So using a sleep shade is not a requirement to participate at OCB?
That's not the word. No.
No. Things have changed. Yeah, so it's not a requirement. Yes, absolutely. Yes, I think that's important. And I think, you know, and I think we need to recognize that there are individuals who do come to OCB with some usable vision. And if we can help support them and teach them how to use that usable vision in a safe way and to learn when they shouldn't rely on their vision, then we're really helping them to become, you know, the best that they can be. Well, it's an individual thing because everybody comes in, like Don, I think, was saying, everybody comes in, maybe they have some anxiety. Well, if we're, you know, we want to support them and making them feel comfortable first. They are talked to, you know, about in the sleep shade, for example. But if it's not going to work for them, then how are we going to help them? So I don't think that there's one set way. Each teacher has their own style of working with the students. And introducing, sometimes they'll do partial on and partial off, and in this situation, let's try it, or, you know, let's work here. One of the things that the O&M teacher helps the students, and we'll do some night travel, so we don't have to work with the sleep shade. Let's just do it in the real setting, you know? So, you know, one of the concerns that we are looking at is if somebody comes with still a lot of real usable vision, and they really just, well, can show me how to use the cane, and if I had my CCTV, the question is, are you ready for OCB? We really do want to support the non-visual, because that's, you know, that's a big thing. So, sure, and but there's individuals who will come when they're early vision loss, and then when they lose, you know, I've lost some more, I need to come back. So if we're teaching them Braille too early, they're not going to use it. They're not going to retain it. So it's having that balance. The other thing, speaking of Braille, I wanted to share. One of the things that we're working on in transitioning to is we recognize that there are a lot of individuals who are not going to become Braille readers for various reasons. It's oftentimes very difficult as an older adult to be able to feel the dots. With persons with neuropathy, they aren't able to feel the dots. So one of the things that we recognize is they may not be Braille users, but there are things that they can do tactilely to learn how to distinguish different things, learning how to do markings. And so maybe it's jumbo Braille, or maybe it's using, you know, Braille dots that you can put on things that the Braille teachers can help them with. And then in addition to that, with modern technology, we really want to support using some of the technology that's on the market. So for example, you might have a medication bottle that you may label the name and then at the same time use the like your ID mate that'll give you more detailed information. So learning how to use Braille in combination with the technology that out there is something that we're really working to support and making that change. So we've in the discussion part of things, working on implementing, we have handed out the ID mates to the teachers, and they're looking at how they can implement that.
Speaking of Braille, you have a new Braille teacher.
We do have it. Oh, okay. So I think she's been there now just for over a year, so I might have made the announcement last year. But we do have a new Braille teacher. Her name is Mary Drain, and she's been with us since March of 2013. And so it's great having her aboard. She has really been very supportive with this change in trying to bring on the, you know, new technology and adapt that into the Braille class, along with, you know, working with individuals that maybe they're not going to be, you know, Braille users in the traditional way.
Their names and check writing and baking
Okay. So we do work with them with signature, and that's so important. In terms of check writing, yes, we have that. But, you know, check writing is becoming obsolete. So for those individuals who do want to know, we do teach them the writing guides and share with them all the information. And then in general, we are doing banking and talking about how to manage your finances. The students all get a stipend given to them by their counselor. It's $100 a month. It's to be used for campus events, activities. And they are supposed to produce an expense sheet. They are also learning how to do online banking. So those are ways. We had another question. I know we're short on time.
We have a few minutes. Questions, okay. Please. Yeah, I
have the gym. So we had a renovation, and that's been complete now, probably 2 years. And with that renovation, we had some special funding. We have a lot of new equipment. So we got new equipment. It's a great place. Were there showers in the gym prior?
No.
We've got showers in the gym now for the men and women's bathrooms. Let's see, great equipment. We still have the basketball court that's there, exercise mats. With our new O&M instructors, they're working on trying to develop the gym classes. They're kind of going to do some kind of modular course, you know, that we're going to focus on. Maybe this is going to be a stretching class, or the next one's going to be maybe dance, and the other one's going to be, you know, kind of working out. So they're really working on revising that, and they just shared that with me Monday, I think it was, so just this week. So they're going to be sharing more details. I miss what... Braille teaching? Is Jana is still there? Ah, so the old timers that are still there, Shireen is still there. She is retired, however, she's there 2 days a week. Teresa Torres Garcia is still there. That's the home ec teacher. And I guess, is Jana considered an old timer? Does anybody remember Mercedes Leong? She was the dorm counselor. Mercedes is still there. Donna Sexton is still there. Let's see. Fran is the computer teacher. Who else do we have? Technology Shay Lin. Joyce is our cooking teacher. Joyce Lopez. So Kathy Scow, I think, is our old timer now, since we've had the retired. And then we have, I think she's been there 18 years. And then we have Linda and Zach are real new in comparison to, let's see, do you guys remember in the cafeteria, Henry Thomas retired last September. Yep. What else? Pooh is no longer with us. Pooh is one of our food techs. Let's see who else. Janitor's Casey still with us. Sal Garcia, who's the groundskeeper. And then we have Jorge, the custodian, and David.
Yeah. More questions? Any other questions? Got to wrap it up in about 5 minutes.
You know, I haven't gotten into the details about the gym. I'm not sure if there's like a beep on the, you know, I was thinking maybe there's like a little kind of audible thing on the net. Did you play?
When I was there was not.
Okay. A net that they can play.
A small area
that they, but so I'm not sure exactly how they play deal with that, but they do. But they do. But, you know. That's a very good question. The question is, do I plan time to meet with them? So we've been doing a lot of changes at OCB. So it was very important for me to be in contact with all the participants. And every Wednesday between 1 and 2:30, I share the time with the students. And now we're sharing it with our nurse. But I meet with the students to get their feedback, to learn about what works, what doesn't, you know, what are their concerns, how can we help them. They've brought a lot of great suggestions. One of the things that they ask for is they want adjustment support groups. So we have those available for the students. We've been doing that now a little over a year and a half or something like that. It's been a little bit. We have some of our dorm counselors who are running that. So they're able to provide adjustment services, support services, and so we also have, we've got a new nurse, and one of the things that he's been really working on is just supporting individuals with, how they can be more proactive and independent in terms of promoting good health. On the weekends, he's working with them in the gym. And then he's been doing some great group discussions. We talked about hand washing. He passed out some sanitizers. I think in another topic, for example, he talked about, daily allowances. And so he gave the example, and I thought it was great that he passed out two packages of salt. And he's like, okay, these two packages, this is your daily salt allowance. He distributed to them like amounts of chocolate and some nuts. So that they have a kind of hands-on, real experience on what you need, to learn about proportion or portion control and that kind of thing. So he just started with us on March 12th. So that's right, because he was there at the meeting, huh? Yeah. So he's a great addition to our program, and we're going to be doing a lot of good work with him to support the students. Great. Good question. Thank you. So, there are job opportunities, and we have at this moment, I don't know where we are in terms of the status, but what is opening up is a food tech. So it's a part-time permanent intermittent, which means 1,500 hours a year, food tech position. We also have another PI home economics teacher position. And then we are working on and we'll be opening and hope to, send an announcement for another manager position. And so what we are doing is we currently have an assistant administrator who's really focusing in on the business side, the facility operations side of OCB. And that would be because we have the groundskeeper, the custodians, the stationary engineer, food services, and business service and administration. And this is a fairly new position. He's been there just under a year and a half. It's a new position to OCB. And so one of the things that has been a big concern for me is that we need the extra support around the student services. We need an opportunity to have somebody support the students. We're bringing on individuals who have a lot of different needs, who really need support around their social adjustment. We want to really try to retain our students there instead of having to suspend them from services. So if we can have that extra support kind of on the rehabilitative side of things, if you will, to support them in building these skills or to, you know, intervene before the issues become a bigger problem. We are getting this manager position to help support, to oversee the work of the teachers. And then in addition to become, you know, big support to the rehab counselor. The rehab counselor can't do it all. There's, you know, 90% of her energy goes towards 10% of, you know, the students. And the concern is that there's those others who are really doing well in the program. But, you know, we want to make sure that they're getting the attention that they need to help support them. It will also oversee, you know, the work of the dorm counselors. We'd like to support the dorm counselors in getting some more training on how they can engage and interact with the students to help support them as well. And then the medical staff. So those positions, we have dorm counselors. Say the question again. So we have our rehab counselor who supports the students. Our dorm counselors are available to provide that support as well. In the classroom, teachers are always, you know, there to be supportive. That's not necessarily the focus. And then again, we talked about earlier that the dorm counselors provide some adjustment support groups. It is a difficult transition. We do have trained staff. Also, they also approach it from a peer support because I want to say all our dorm counselors are blind. So it's they can bring to the students different perspectives. Many of our teachers are blind as well. So we have that opportunity to provide support. So this position that we want to open is there to help support the students as well as the staff.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, but we are going to we could go on for a long time, but we're going to have to adjourn this part of the program because we have our general set tracks for the general session starting at 1:30. And I'm going to thank Rosa for being here. Let's give her a big round of applause.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, everybody. And Nancy, can I meet with you after? Okay.
Okay. And please, again, if anybody has got $10 in their hand, they want to become a member, please come right up here to where you hear my voice. Donna is sitting right next to me, and we'll be happy to take your money.
Oh, you're giving me the mic. I don't need it. I'm done. We're done. We're through. Goodbye. Thank you.